Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
How are we doing?
I'm doing pretty well. So I have at Mass binders sometimes that help me with things like during the Triduum and Easter. Do you have that as well?
Yes.
Have you ever had something missing from it?
Actually, recently at the...
Oh, really?
At this last Holy Week. So I make it a tradition to sing the Exulted, plus mm-hmm. we don't have a deacon, who is the person who should sing it normally. For 15 years, I've sang the Exulted, and I love it. It's chant, and it's 9.5 minutes, and there was one page missing this year. somebody made a mistake, and I didn't catch it. So I'm singing, I'm on page 8 out of 9, and then I see that page 9 is not there, so I just decided to sing Amen, and everybody replied, and we went on, and nobody noticed. It was pretty funny.
So I had a wedding last year. I've got a very good liturgist, and this never happens, but I had a wedding last year, and we had a gospel that the couple had chosen, and we put it within the book of the gospels because it wasn't normally there. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't there. I got up there, so you know what I did is I made up the gospel from heart, and it was awful. It was so...
Good for you.
And I can't remember what it was, but it was so off. Mm-hmm. And what was so sad is I don't think anybody noticed. I don't remember the gospel, but I knew, and my liturgist kind of knew. He said, "Was that? I don't think you were reading anything." I said, "No, I had to make it up because I panicked because there was nothing there."
How do you feel about priests who memorize gospels?
I think there's something beautiful about that fact that you're proclaiming the reading, proclaiming the gospel. I generally find, whether it's intended or not, that if a lector or if a deacon or if a priest does that, it becomes a little bit more about the person standing there than the words.
I'm mainly jealous. I don't know. I would be able to do it.
I couldn't do it either. No.
Anyway, here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel. This is Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the Vice Chancellor and Pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin.
And I'm Father Philip Bugacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Two Guys in a Gospel. And this is kind of a short gospel. This would be one maybe one could memorize, but a very beautiful one. So mm-hmm. why don't I read it? Where will I read from?
We are reading from Luke's Gospel, Cycle C, Chapter 10, Verses 38 to 42.
Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." I imagine in my head sometimes, if I was king of the world, I would have a game show, and you would have a gospel like this, and a preacher, and I'd say, "So here's the example you can't use. Mm-hmm. So here's what the easiest thing to go to, and we're probably going to slip into it. Are you a Martha or are you a Mary?" Mm-hmm. You know, that image. That's
And it gets worse when they preach about contemplative life. So in religious life, we have some orders that are of contemplation. They pray, they live in cluster. and then the other one is action. And then to try to say that this gospel is about Jesus favoring contemplation over action, when that would be an anachronism. This would be like you remember a couple of months ago, I think you are not a Game of Thrones guy.
I'm not.
But there was this scandal that in chapter, I think it was episode number 4, there was a coffee cup, and then some people thought it was
famous... it was a Starbucks cup.
Yes. So now we are mentioning the name again, and they're making even more money. They made $2.3 billion, I think you told me.
They say that in free advertising, $2.3 billion.
Yeah, but that's an anachronism, how in something that is inspired in the Middle Ages, there is a cup. To discuss religious life here would be an anachronism. It would be like the coffee cup. You know what I mean? It has nothing to do with this.
Right.
This is a description of a community, Jesus, Mary, and Martha. And I think it means something else. Would you guess?
I wouldn't go so far as to say something else. I would say, though, there is a beautiful balance here of maybe active and contemplative spirituality. Mm-hmm. Maybe not religious life or what we understand it today, but maybe an active and contemplative. That's a possibility. What I get out of this as I read it this year anew during this cycle is when you focus on Jesus, all the details work themselves out. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I can do this, is you focus on all the details and we can kind of tie the hands of God and hold the strings and control life too much. But when you just focus on him in prayer and often in silence, the details of life work themselves out and the Lord will take care of it. That's what comes across for me this time. What about you, though?
So this is something that is written to respond. The Gospels are written as communities of original disciples, maybe two generations after Jesus has died. And they're struggling with some issues. And I think they're trying to reflect about them through the teachings of Jesus that they remember first from oral tradition. Could it be possible to say that in that initial community, there is a tension between the praying part and the obligation part and the demands, normative demands? And what about the issue of Jewishness? Do you have to be a Jew? That we know is part of Acts of the Apostles, which is written at a similar time. Do you have to be a Jew to follow Jesus? And then maybe Mary is the one that comes new without all this background. And another section of the community is saying, but we have to do all these things. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm not explaining it great, but you know what I mean.
No, I think you're explaining it well. I can't explain it much better. We've talked about this in other Gospels, and I'm thinking. That's why I'm not sure here. I probably wouldn't go that far, but I think that there's a thought there. And I think we do have to recognize just that reality of the Gospels, not that there's a parallel truth there, but as they're witnesses to Jesus's life and witnesses to his ministry, yes, they're writing to particular communities, and that's what Luke is doing here now. And perhaps there's a way to shape the information or context and questions that need to be answered. So that's a fascinating theory and thought, and it might be right.
Yeah. What we know from Scripture is that when Jesus pronounces a name twice, he's not happy. Mm. Martha, Martha, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Yeah. It's a warning there. We could maybe, I hope this is not lowering the standards of biblical interpretation, but we could apply it to our normal lives. When people you know that do things that are good, but they do them complaining. So you see that this is what Martha is going through. And that I sometimes tell people, if you're not happy doing it, don't do it.
Right.
I may be left alone one day. I mean, that nobody will do anything. But you know what happens? How many people do many things and they're upset doing it. They look upset. They don't feel recognized in churches and I guess elsewhere. Just be happy doing something or don't do it. Is it very simplistic because nobody would do some certain things? But you know what I mean there.
And so my very first pastor, great pastor, Father Ken Canepo, one day I was doing the same thing. I was busy with something I had engaged in and I was complaining that I had to do it. And just very simply, he said, well, you agreed to it. You know, this is not something you had to do. It's something you agreed to. So, you know, you need to be willing to say no. Otherwise, go ahead and do it happily. And I appreciate that. I think about that often and kind of say that to others. But I think that's really important, you know. Well, just the reality of complaining in general. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those things. I'm busy, so I'm going to complain about that. But what I think, though, is even, again, back to maybe a more spiritual level, busyness can certainly be a substitute for holiness. You know, busyness can be a substitute for discipleship. Busyness, and we've got to think about that in our parish life and just our life as disciples as well, is this is all about intimacy with Jesus and the newness with Jesus as well. But busyness and doing a lot of things. And that's always a struggle for me that I'm thinking a lot about as a pastor and in my own life, is the simplicity that Jesus's call really entails. It's an intimacy and simplicity, and it's not a lot of things. That's hard to negotiate when sometimes busyness seems to work.
But I also read recently an article that in our culture, a personal worth is equal to being busy, even self-worth. And when we are not busy, we feel like we are not being productive. And we need time of reflection and we need time for thinking. I don't know if that's the opposite of what you are saying or it's something that's what you are saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And there's been this movement in the business world, I'd say over the last 5 years or so, of acknowledging that, of saying multitasking really is not good.
It's we are not designed for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not productive. And that those who are kind of most effective as leaders, whether they be CEOs or management or people in everyday life and everyday occupations, those who are most effective choose a few things to focus on and to do them well. So that's getting a little bit into the business world. But there's been a real movement in saying less email, less details, focus on a few things and be willing to say no to some things as well.
And that would apply to anywhere. You also reminded me of something. There was a book called The No Complaining Rule. I believe that was the title. I bought 30 copies and I gave it to all the teachers in the school. and it was an interesting process. Everybody read it and we did it for a while. I think the book proposed like trying 1 week without complaining. You just cannot complain.
Yeah.
And people would cut themselves, even, I mean, of course, myself and others, we would cut ourselves like about to complain. And then you also made me think of something you said in a podcast around the time we went to the Spring Assembly. And you said that we choose a vocation, but then we pick what we want on that vocation, you know, and then maybe we complain about the rest. And it would be very healthy to say, this is the vocation you have. You are a parent, you are a husband, you are a wife, you are a priest, you are a bishop, whatever you are. But then assume everything, not just pick and choose and then be very, I don't like meetings, and then I will be looking like very upset when I go to meetings. No, there is something about engaging the whole thing, finding this balance that you were saying at the beginning.
I agree 100%.
Good.
And I think that might be a good point to think about as we look forward to this coming Sunday, as we approach this weekend. Look for a masstimes.org is a national website, and then the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website is archmil.org, and there's Mass Times there and other information.
And if you know a friend who could benefit from listening to the podcast, let them know that we exist. So see you next Wednesday, Philip.
All right, we'll see you then.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.